We're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. Just to refresh your mind, we'll read together the verses 6, 7, and 8. He spake, that is, the Lord also spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seek fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Those words, let it alone. Let it alone this year also. John Milton was an English poet and civil servant in the days of Oliver Cromwell. When he was old and blind, he was one day visited by King Charles II, Charles's father, Charles I, having been beheaded during Cromwell's time. He said to John Milton, Your blindness is a judgment from God for the part you took against my father. John Milton, looking him in the eye, he replied, If I have lost my sight through God's judgment, what can you say of your father who lost his head? You see, tragedies are not always the consequence of great sin. In this chapter, we find the Lord drawing his hearers' attention to the Tower of Siloam. In collapsing, 18 men had lost their lives. And the people remembering the incident, they imagine that these men must have committed some great and heinous sin to die in such a tragedy. And correcting their error, the Lord said in verse 3, Nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And seeking to emphasize the truth that if they did not repent, they would perish, he then told this parable of a certain fig tree. This tree failing to bring forth fruit, the owner after 3 years commanded it to be cut down. The vine dresser pleading its case, he seeking permission to dig around it and to fertilize it, the owner finally agreed to give it one more year to produce fruit. And you see, like this vine dresser, God is not only a pardoning God, but He is a patient God. He gives man time to repent of their sin. Indeed, seeing the Lord's greatness, the psalmist said in Psalm 86 and in the verse 15, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And as we read through the scriptures, we see His long-suffering again and again and again. Centuries earlier, deciding to destroy the world by a great flood. My, He did not send the rain till 120 years later. While just determining to destroy the city of Nineveh, yet He gave them 40 days to repent. You see, God is not only pure, but God is patient. He gives man time to repent, time to turn from their sin and to seek the Savior. My mercy, has He not given to you another year? Has He not in mercy allowed you to step from 2021 into 2022? And I trust that as God has given you another year, that you'll not waste this year, that you'll not keep putting off the matter of your soul's salvation, but you'll use wisely the time that God has given you, and that you will repent, that you'll turn from your sin and seek the Savior. And so I want this morning to draw your attention to this parable of the fig tree. I want you to notice firstly here the character of this tree. The fig tree was a common tree. It was cultivated in every available spot. Its broad and glossy leaves could be seen from the source of the Jordan to the Judean hills and from Moab right out to the Mediterranean. And drawing their attention now to this tree, you notice here its planting. Setting the scene, the Lord said in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. The fact that it had been planted, it indicates that this fig tree had not always grown in this spot. There was a time when it had been uprooted from its native soil and surroundings, and its owner bringing it into his vineyard, he had planted it among his own vines. And of course, in Scripture, the vineyard speaks to us of the visible church. In other words, the Lord here was indicating that while they had been uprooted and they had been brought into the visible church, experiencing their Heavenly Father's provision and protection, yet they still were fruitless. More than that, they were still in danger of eternal fire. You see, it's one thing to be brought into the visible church, and it's another thing to be brought into Christ. While the former may bring many blessings upon your life, it will never bring salvation or fruitfulness. Indeed, Judas Iscariot, experiencing the call of God, he had been brought into the ranks of the disciples. And while experiencing the ministry and the miracles of Christ, yet we read in Matthew 26:47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And while there had been a great change in the life of Judas Iscariot, yet he still betrayed the Lord, taking his own life. He went from miseries within to the miseries of a lost, Christless eternity. You see, it's one thing to experience the power of God in your life. It's another thing to experience the pardon of God. The great evangelist Billy Sunday used to say, you can put a man in a garage, but it doesn't make him a car. And so you can put a man in church, but it does not make him a Christian. Karl Marx, Adolf Hitler, Siren, who killed Robert Kennedy, were all one-time churchgoers, but they were not Christians. Nicodemus was a leader in the Jewish church, but the Lord Jesus, turning to him, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And maybe you have experienced the power of God in your life. You have been transplanted from the world into the outward ranks of the visible church. It could be said of you that the Lord has dug around your life. He has intervened in your life. He has plucked up many of the sins that once were in your life. More than that, we could say He has fertilized your life. He has made it productive. But my friend, those things in themselves are not enough. This tree was planted in the vineyard. This tree had been dug around, but it still was fruitless. And you could plant yourself amongst the people of God. You could know something of the power of God in your heart and in your life. But my friend, that is not salvation. That does not bring an individual to heaven. Not only its planting, but you notice its problem. While set on the very best of surroundings and protected from every danger, we read in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. The fig tree was normally a very fruitful tree, bringing forth fruit in its first year. More than that, its fruit was medicinal. When Hezekiah was ill, Isaiah told him to take a fig and to leave it upon the wound. And as a consequence, he was made well. However, this owner, now beholding the fig tree in which he had invested so much effort and time, his complaint was that it bore no fruit. It failed to live up to his expectations. It is not the failure of this tree, the failure of every man and every woman. They have failed to live up to the expectations of their heavenly owner. Indeed, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The word sin there literally means to miss the mark. And we discover that despite all that they had done, they had failed to reach God's mark. In failing to reach it, he described it here as sin. You see, not only is the subverting of God's law sin, but the failure to reach the standard of God's law is sin. A coming short in the eyes of God is transgression. What was the sin of the five foolish virgins? It was not that they had committed murder. It was not that they had stole from their neighbor. It was that they had no oil in their lamps. There was a failure. A little girl, one day going squirrel hunting with her dad. They, despite being out all day, they failed to find a single squirrel. When they came home, the little girl wanted to shoot the gun. She'd never fired a gun before. And so the father took the gun and he aimed and he fired the gun and he hit the target right in the center. He then reached the gun to the little girl. And of course the gun was heavy and it was waddling from one side to the other side and she pulled the trigger. Of course she missed the target all together. And not realizing she had missed the target, she going up to examine the target, she said, "Daddy, look, I shot exactly where you shot yours." And how many people today, and like that little girl, they fail to realize that they have missed God's target. You may not have committed murder, but your failure to love God with all of your heart, your failure to produce the fruit of the Spirit, your failure to serve God is sin. You see, as this tree failed to live up to the expectation of its owner, my friend, is that not your crying today? As God looks upon you and as God looks at your heart and God looks at your life, you have failed to live up to His expectation. You have come short of His mark. You have failed to keep His law. You have failed to glorify Him. You have failed to live. And such is sin. Sin in the eyes of the Holy God. Not only its problem, but you notice also here its potential. Beholding its barrenness and hearing the owner's words of condemnation, we read in verse 8. "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." It was generally accepted that if a fig tree did not bring forth fruit in its first year, or its second year, or its third year, there was little hope of it ever bringing forth fruit. However, while the owner here gave up hope of this tree ever producing fruit, the dresser did not. He still believed that this tree, with a little care, a little digging around, could be rescued. And that with his intervention, that it could bring forth fruit. And you see today, while there is no hope within our own hearts, there is hope without. The Lord is able to rescue us. and He's able to make us even fruitful. In Mark chapter 5, we find the Lord Jesus entering into the country, the Gadarenes. Its people being unable to reform a certain character possessed by thousands of demons. They drove him into the tombs. However, while they threw up their arms in despair and admitted they could do nothing, the Lord Jesus intervening, He changed this man's life. And casting the demons out, we read in Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see Him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in His right mind, and they were afraid. And although all of the people within the country had given up hope in this man, the Lord did not. In casting out the demons, He transformed his life. You see, the Lord chooses men for not for what they are, but for what He can make them. He's able to take the most fruitless, barren life, and in an instant of time, He's able to make it fruitful. Abraham was an idolater in the land of the Ur, the Chaldean, despite being a worshiper of the sun and of fire. Yet we find God intervening in his life and God changing him and making him into a man of faith and the father of the faithful. And maybe as you sit in the house of God this morning and you take a moment to look at your life, you think there is no hope. You look within and you recognize there's nothing that you can do to change your life, to change your habits. You look out at society, and my, there seems to be no hope in society. There's nothing that man can do for you. But I want to tell you, my friend, there is one. There is one who can change you. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He's able to take your life, and He's able to make something out of nothing. And He's able to bring fruit that is pleasing to His name. Oh, the character of this tree. It was barren, destined to be cut down. But secondly, I want you to notice the coming to this tree. After 3 years, we find the owner or the husbandman approaching this tree. In John chapter 15, we find the Lord saying in the verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And we see that the husbandman here speaks of the Father. And approaching this tree, you notice here concerning God the Father. You notice His examination. Look at verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Rather than sending one of his servants to gather its fruit, the owner himself came, entering into the vineyard, he having planted this particular fig tree. He had a very, very special interest in it. He knew exactly how long it had been there. He knew exactly what benefits and work had been poured into it. And now, lifting its broad and glossy leaves, he examined it for the presence of fruit. And can't you imagine his disappointment as he lifts those leaves and he finds nothing. Nothing but barrenness. And coming up, he examined the tree. And you see, God not only plants man and provides for man, but He perceives man. He sees them as they really are. Indeed, speaking in the days of Solomon, the Lord said in Proverbs chapter 5:21, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And the Lord, looking down, he not only saw all that was in their lives, but he pondered it. In other words, he laid those things up in his mind. You see, today you cannot escape or evade the eye of God. All is naked before Him. When Henry Norris Russell, a Princeton astronomer, had concluded a lecture on one occasion on the Milky Way, a woman approached him. She said, if our world is so little and the universe is so great, how can we believe that God pays attention to any of us? The astronomer looked up and he said, that depends on how big a God you believe in. My friend, the God of the Bible is omniscient. And coming into this meeting this morning, he doesn't merely look at the outward. But as he comes into your life, he lifts the leaves. He lifts the pretense. He lifts all those garments that you have weaved by your works. And he looks behind. And he sees not what men see, but he sees what's really there. And I wonder today, as the Lord comes and as the Lord looks into your heart, what does he see? Does he see a heart that has been forgiven, that has been changed by his grace? A heart that has been cleansed? Or as he looks on today, does he see nothing but sin and corruption and filthiness? You see, the Lord today, he examines your heart. And my friend, you can fool the preacher, and that's not hard to do. But the Lord lifts the leaves. He sees you this morning as you really are. Not only his examination, but notice his expectation. Looking beneath its leaves, we read in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. The fig tree differs from most other trees, and it firstly puts forth fruit, and then it puts forth its leaves. And as such, in coming up to this tree and seeing the leaves on the tree, the owner would naturally have expected to find this tree laden down with fruit. And finding none, he became angry. You see, it wasn't enough that this tree would put forth leaves or put forth a profession of fruitfulness. But the Lord was looking for the actual fruit. You see, God today is not looking for profession, but more than that, he is looking for productivity. He is looking for the fruit of salvation in your life. In the Gospel of Matthew, we find a number of people coming before the Lord, and coming, they were claiming to be his children. And hearing their words, the Lord turning and speaking, we read in Matthew 25:42. He said, for I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. They failed to care, or to help, or provide for the Lord. And there being no fruit in their lives, he then said in the verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. You see, a mere outward profession in itself means absolutely nothing. Without works, it is dead. There's the old saying, don't judge a book by its cover. And there are many today, and they have no desire to pray. They have no desire to witness. They have no desire even to be in the house of God. They exhibit none of the fruits of the Spirit in their lives. But because somewhere along in their life's journey, they made a profession of faith, they imagine that all is well. But you know, today, as the Lord draws nigh, he's not looking just merely for some outward profession. Not merely looking for some profession that someday you trusted Christ. But he's looking for evidence of it. My friend, as he comes, he is looking for love. Love for the Savior. Love for the saints. Love for the Scriptures. A love for supplication. Love for that place of prayer. You see, he's looking today for fruit in your life. And I wonder today, as the Lord comes and he lifts those leaves and he looks a little deeper, is there reality? Is there any fruit to be found there? Not only his expectation, but you notice also his exasperation. Look at verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. He found no fruit. Not even one. Can't we not almost hear the pain and feel the disappointment in his voice? You see, your fruitlessness today, it not only disappoints, but it disheartens the Lord. It causes him great pain, great heartbreak. There is, of course, in this parable a reference to the nation of Israel. You remember how that the tree was left 3 years. The Lord Jesus had come amongst this people. He had spent 3 years with them. He had preached to them. He had sought to dig up the ground around them. He had sought to give them the word of God. But at the end of the 3 years, finding no fruit, we find him weeping over them. And my friend, what effort the Lord has put into you. He has uprooted you and he has brought you into good surroundings. You were born into a Christian home, or if you weren't born into a Christian home, he has brought you to the house of God, or he has brought you into the company of other Christians. He has dug up your life. He has brought events into your life that have challenged your life, that made you to think about your soul, that made you to change things in your life. But I wonder, is there any fruit? After all of that, is there any fruit? Oh, the Lord comes and he examines our hearts. And as he comes today, I wonder, what does he find? What does he find? Then lastly, there was the condemning of this tree, bearing no fruit. The owner finally commanded it to be cut down and burned. But notice, there is a reason here. Look at verse 7. Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? The word cumbereth there simply means to make of no effect. He knew that if this fig tree was allowed to remain and allowed to grow, it would make the ground of no effect. It rising higher into the heavens and spreading its branches, it would steal the sunlight from the vines that were around. More than that, it would draw away the fatness and the goodness of the ground so that the trees around it would have none. In other words, this fig tree, it was injuring the other trees. It was taking the goodness of God and the provision of God, and it was injuring the other trees. You see, the fruitless life is not only unprofitable and useless, but it makes those around it profitless and useless. It spoils all that it touches. Solomon mixed with the wrong crowd. And what happened? The wrong crowd turned his heart away from God. You see, in life, we can never be neutral. We're either having a positive influence or a negative influence. And if you're not saved today, you're having a negative influence. You're hurting even those that are around you. Not perhaps deliberately, but by your rejecting of Christ, by your lifestyle, you're hindering them, you're stopping them my coming to Christ. You're stopping them trusting the Savior. You see, this fig tree, it was hurting the vines that were around it. And if you're not saved today, you're having a negative influence on those around you. Not only is there a reason here, but notice also there is a reprieve here. Because look at verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. While by this intervention he managed a stay of execution for 1 year. It was only for 1 year. If after that 1 year this fig tree still produced no fruit, it would then be cut down. You see, while God is long-suffering, He does not suffer with man and woman forever. His patience is finally exhausted. Speaking to the men of Nineveh, He said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was patient. He was giving them 40 days. But my friend, the 40 days would finally come to an end. To some, God gives 40 years. To others, He gives 40 months. To others, He gives 40 weeks. To others, He gives 40 days. And maybe to some, there's only 40 minutes left. My friend, don't presume that because God is speaking to you today, that He's going to speak to you tomorrow or forever. Oh, while He is speaking, trust Him. Finally, there is a riddle here, because this parable is left open-ended. We're not told that whether at the end of the year this fig tree was fruitful or not, whether it was spared or cut down. Why does he give no answer? Because the real question is not what happened to this fig tree. The real question is what will happen to you. What will happen to you? My friend, God has been good. God has given you another year. He has allowed you to step into 2022. He has brought you to the house of God this morning to hear the Word of God again. But I wonder, what will you do with His mercy? What will you do with His grace? Oh, today as He works in your life, as He pulls, as it were, up those weeds, will you turn to Him and know His grace and be saved today? My God has been good one more year. You may not have the whole year. My friend, don't misuse it, but seek the Lord. Trust Him while He is near and know His grace in your heart.